really hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. This is the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and boy, it's just nice to win one. We're back at home this weekend against TCU, and there is plenty here to look at. So I'd love to lead off with welcoming Tyler Lucas back onto the pod. Tyler, hello. How are you doing this week? I know that you're really ambiguous about this whole matchup, so I think I may have to press into you to get fired up. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely, dude. I am so ready, Jeremy. I am so ready. I'm going to Lubbock this weekend. Put my money where my mouth is. I told everybody that I'd be there. I'm going to be there, support our team. But more importantly, I'm going to be there so that I can call Gary Patterson names.
All right. And we're back with Jacob Harris. What's up, man? How do you feel about the fact that we were both wrong about West Virginia winning last weekend?
It was West Virginia. But more importantly, I do have a question for Tyler. Tyler, have you put your water bottles in the freezer yet?
No, but I do have my batteries wrapped in there in a little belt that I'm going to wear going into the stadium. But I'm going to wear a coat over them so that I can, you know. I need to get my water bottles
chuck
ready.
Chuck them into the... Little story about that. I was actually at the game that Gary Patterson has deemed as the water bottle game. And yes, I did see something hit him in the face, but I know it was a tortilla because the guy was sitting two seats down from me that hit him with a tortilla. Was not a frozen water. I remember because it had rained that day. And so the tortilla got wet and like, and then it was sunny and rainy, so it had gotten like wet and like in a ball, and then it dried, so it was like dry. So I watched this guy straight up chunk it, and it hit Gary Patterson in the back of the head. I can clear that one up for sure. It was not a water bottle, it was a tortilla.
So a tortilla. A soggy tortilla. Either way, a tortilla, you know, times the gravitational pull plus probably the thrust that he pushed it. I'm sure Gary thought it was something pretty rough. And you know, that thing coming at you at that speed, you don't know what it is. You know, it's gonna hit you and then it's gone. But he could have just looked down, so who knows? Well, as comes to no surprise for Texas Tech fans this weekend, the matchup against the dreaded Horned Lizards of TCU kicks off at 11 a.m. Obviously, this is the prime time as Sooner fans on ESPN2. So let's get this pod kicked off with a little bit of housekeeping. The biggest headlines I think to pay attention to for the Horned Frogs going into this weekend. One, not really pertinent to our situation, but certainly big for TCU. Quarterback Alex Delton has actually transferred from the program. Talking to Jamie Plunkett of Frogs of War, probably just some issues with being third on the depth chart. Texas Tech certainly no stranger to people walking out of the program just because they don't get playing time. So, you know, whatever Delton wants to do next, who cares? Luckily, Max Duggan has stepped up big recently for the Horned Frogs. So seeing him this weekend, obviously we'll get into that momentarily. Next, Coach Patterson has made no effort to conceal his displeasure with Sonny Cumbie. And after talking to Jamie in our interview pod, that's apparently due to a poor string of choices as offensive coordinator. Certainly might be something of a familiar tune to Red Raiders. But if you want to hear more about that, go to the interview podcast. It was great. Jamie's fantastic analyst and manager of Frogs of War, which is a pretty good pretty good blog outside of the times that we play them. Then they're extremely annoying. And of course, TCU fans are unbearable, but outside of that, they're pretty good. So thanks, Jamie, again, if you're listening. Next, the Frogs are actually plagued with a lot of injury and have about, I think, 5 athletes considered questionable for this Saturday, which is pretty big. Safeties Keenan Reed, LeKendrick VanZant, quarterback Mike Collins, who was in earlier this year. I mean, there's a number of quarterbacks that they have on the injured list, which is, that's bad news bears anytime you get into it. But luckily they got Duggan. Wide receivers Aldontre Davis and Tavante Heights also questionable this weekend. I think the biggest loss on their list is tackle Lucas Yang, who actually had a hip surgery. He chose to have hip surgery remove himself from the season and then, you know, prepare for next season, which I think is admirable. And certainly best of luck in his recuperation. We got anything else?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, let's just look at the tech side. We could talk about Bowman a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. For anybody that doesn't know, Jacob, go ahead and give us an update on Bowman's situation.
Well, they've officially, Coach Wells said he officially is, they're going to redshirt him, which, you know, on one side is smart. On the other side, the way that Wells said it really made it sound like it wasn't Bowman or Wells' decision. It really sounded like it was Bowman's parents' decision. Even because the way he said it, he said, we talked to Bowman and his parents, and we're going to redshirt him.
You know, I'm conflicted because you kind of want to just move on to, you know, I think one guy that gets overlooked a lot. I mean, MacIver is going to be your starter probably after Jet Duffy, but the one guy that gets least talked about in the quarterback room coming up is Smith, and I think he's got a lot. A potential coming out of Lovett Cooper, and he's more than a two-star quarterback. I think he should be a three-star. Sometimes he looks like a four-star out there. And I think, you know, bringing Bowman back as a red shirt, giving him an extra year, kind of hurts his development. It hurts the entire quarterback room's development, just because you kind of want to get past this, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Alan Bowman and I love what he's done for Texas Tech and the injuries he's sustained, but you can't go into another season expecting Alan Bowman to be healthy and then wind up in a situation where he's not.
I'm in a very similar situation as you, Tyler. I think that the decision to redshirt, it makes sense, especially if, like, that's something he's talking about with his family and, you know, there's only so many games left. Sure, red shirt, take it out, get ready for the next year to play out like a extra season of sorts. But at the same time, you got to see who's coming in and you got to see who we have. Duffy still has a year of eligibility after this. We don't know if he'll stay on or if he'll decide to transfer. That's certainly up to for debate. Not right now because he's currently the starter. We got MacIver, who is a true dual threat quarterback, might be the best of Bowman and Duffy put together. Who knows? Haven't really got time to see him play. We have Baron Morton, one of the top quarterbacks, in Texas, also up there in the nation coming in 2021. For the forecast on quarterbacks for Texas Tech, it doesn't look like Bowman's route gets any easier by staying longer. Not that it would get any easier regardless, but the red shirt, it just kind of feels like salvaging a season for the hopes that he'll, you know, rock it up in his abilities, maybe transfer if it gets rough, but like just immediately in my mind doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's kind of the situation right now. But for all intents and purposes, we got Duffy quarterback one, and it's going to be like that probably for the rest of the season. And with all the stats on, I mean, with all the stats he's got going up, longest consecutive completion, longest amount of completions without an interception in the NCAA, certainly is doing pretty well. If we're being asked to step in for a guy that was supposed to be Mr. Texas Tech, I think he's done well enough at his position. It's just been a lot of questions in other areas that have kept us from wins in those close games. But regardless, let's go ahead and look at the offense while we're on that topic for TCU. Quarterback number one, Max Duggan, already 1,545 yards this season, 55% completion rating, which isn't the best, but remember that this guy is a freshman. He's going to make freshman mistakes. And speaking of that, he's got 13 touchdowns with 7 interceptions. And so this spells out turnover prone, but Jamie, I think, said it best that if you're not throwing interceptions, you're not really being risky. And with a freshman, this is the perfect time to get them all the experience they need in every game scenario. You know, let them play ball, let them see what works, let them see what doesn't work. And interceptions are a good way for quarterbacks to really feel the pressure to dial it in and practice. Also, he's quite the rusher. He's already got 365 yards on 92 attempts, for 4 touchdowns. So dual threat quarterbacks haven't been the bane of Texas Tech this year. It's really been the deep ball, which sucks, but you know, he's going to be a constant threat, so something to pay attention going forward. We've got running backs Darius Anderson and my favorite Sewu. God, I practice and I still suck. Alanalua, so good, so close. Alanalua, Sewu Alanalua. You have Anderson, who is kind of their undoubtedly the starter of this offense. He's got 6 touchdowns, almost 700 yards on the ground right now. But Alanalua is somebody you got to watch out for. This is a 6'3", 240-pound power back that absolutely demolishes the line. TCU has created direct snap packages to Alanalua, and they are pretty much guaranteed to get 3 or 4 yards every time they call that up. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor, and actually tight end Pro Wells. There are a number of receivers in TCU's arsenal, but for, again, all intents and purposes, Reagor and Wells have been the guys getting it done. Certainly a lot of that falls on Duggan's learning curve as a freshman, but regardless, both Reagor and Wells are the athletes that he can lean on for support, and those are the two athletes Tech really needs to keep their eye on this weekend. Reagor with over, you know, it's about 460 yards, 4 touchdowns. Pro Wells, only 189 yards, but 5 touchdowns. TCU has relied on the tight end game to solidify a lot of red zone trips, and something teams have done efficiently against Tech, unfortunately, is utilize tight ends, most notably Iowa State, who tore us up countless times, pass interference or not. So I expect TCU to be spying that tape pretty judiciously in preparation for the matchup this weekend. Guys, there is somehow plenty of questions on our defensive side of things still. I mean, mostly with our defensive backs, but I mean, where do we see this best? I mean, where do we see our defense matching up best with this TCU offense? Tyler?
Man, it's going to be really good to get Des Smith back, right, with those defensive backs that we've got. And you kind of hope Adrian Fry, man, he's getting picked on, isn't he? With that cast on his hand, he's really getting picked on lately, because we have been giving up the deep ball. But I think Des Smith actually might help give us a spark in that defensive back that we need to kind of solidify those positions, because like we said, the deep ball has really hurt Tech. I'd really like to see us at least handle Reagor. That's hard to do. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that have stopped him other than Baylor. And he still found a way to kind of beat them sometimes. So he's a game breaker. And if Duggan can just sit back there and pick us apart, it's going to be a long day for Tech.
Jacob, do you agree with that? How do you feel about our defense matching up against this TCU offense?
I feel like Jalen Reagor is probably the best deep ball guy in the league. I mean, best speed guy, the best overall talent at receiver. So I think it'd be tough for us to cover him. But if our front seven can get some sort of push, like you said, they had their one of their better linemen is going to be out, freshman quarterback. If we can force some pressure on Max Duggan, it may help a little bit, but you know, we'll see.
What's interesting you should say that, because Jamie brought up in our interview that Max Duggan is actually at his worst when opposing teams get pressure on him, which is not unlike the Duffy situation at all. So I guess the question we have, Jacob, is do we have that manpower on the line to overpower a TCU offensive line that's good but certainly has weak points? Like I said, Nyang is out for the season at left tackle. Do we have the personnel to apply pressure on Duggan at will?
I think we do. I just think it's up to Keith Patterson to call that. You know, he likes to go into prevent defense when it gets close, so you never know. If you throw some blitzes their way, I mean, I think especially early on in the game, if you can provide some pressure on that freshman quarterback and he's not too hot under those conditions, maybe get a turnover, maybe two. we might be able to, you know, mount a lead or something. Then we won't have to rely on frozen water bottles to get us the dub.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Tyler, what do you have to say about our linebacking core? I mean, not only after watching last weekend against Austin Kendall, but especially in light of the announcement that kind of like Jordan Brooks is leading not only in solo tackles, but tackles for loss in the nation. You couple him with Rico Jeffers, who really balled out last game, and Desmond Smith is coming back, certainly has kind of played out wide, but also close in. I mean, how do you feel about our kind of mid-range guys against TCU?
Yeah, man, when those two guys are on, they're the best duo. They're one of the best duos in the nation. I mean, Jordan Brooks is just a beast. Like, that is going to be a guy that when you are sitting around your fireplace in 2 or 3 years watching Texas Tech win the national championship, you're going to be like, man, I wish Jordan Brooks was able to see that, you know. I hope I'm getting a laugh. I hope I'm getting a laugh on this. I really think that we have the ability. I'll bounce off Jacob. I think we do have the ability defensively to get some pressure on this TCU O-line. One thing that did stand out to me, and I really hope it stands out to Keith Patterson, because it's pretty evident. Max Duggan is great at home. When he played against Texas, he played a really good game. But on the road, he has a TD to interception ratio of like 4-3. So for every touchdown he throws pretty much a pick. And man, I bet Douglas Coleman is just licking his chops back there, because if you get pressure, man, it may be a field day for our DBs getting some turnovers.
Yeah, certainly. Douglas Coleman, best defensive back in the nation in regards to interceptions. I think he's 8 on the season at this point, maybe 9. I don't do math, so who cares? But so Tyler is certainly honing in on Douglas Coleman as one of the key players in our defensive scheme. Jacob, who are you going to be paying attention to this weekend on our defense?
I think it'll be not Douglas Coleman, but his counterpart back there, Adrian Fry. Kind of like Tyler said earlier on, he's been getting picked on a little bit back there. And I think if he can play good this game, especially early on, maybe they won't pick on him as much, and maybe we can, you know, have an effective day defensively. But the other side of that coin is, you know, if he can't get anything going on the defensive side, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I feel for Adrian Fry, because he kind of got the like a first team curse of sorts after he got that nod last year after a stellar season. I mean, all throughout the preseason we were talking about, okay, Adrian Fry is going to be the leader of this defense. It's going to be, you know, he's going to be directing the defensive backs. We're not going to have anything behind us, and you know, look what's happening. Suffering the deep ball. People are picking on Adrian Fry of all people. Luckily, we've had Douglas Coleman step up, DeMarcus Fields trying to step up. Zach McPherson stepping up where he can, a number of defensive backs. But Adrian Fry, supposed to be one of our best returning players, and just hasn't shaped up that way. So I like that pick. I hope that Adrian takes his opportunity to exploit Duggan's freshman consistencies. So I think actually for me, I'm going to go ahead and pick somebody on the line. I'm going to pick Eli Howard. Somebody who the past couple of games has shown me a lot of intensity to get around the offensive line and put pressure on quarterbacks. The guy's ability, his quickness, as well as his strength, have been a real boost to our rush defense, as well as just applying pressure on the quarterback. And if pressure is what we need on Max Duggan, I'm going all in on Eli Howard to be the guy to swoop around his man and put that pressure on Duggan, you know? So hopefully Eli Howard, Adrian Fry, and Douglas Coleman all come ready to go, and we could just blow TCU out of the water, because, you know, why the hell not? We're reversing the polarity from that game that they ran out of fireworks. Games have just gotten closer. We won last year, so now it's our turn to run out of fireworks or something. But before we move ahead to talk about TCU's stellar defense, we're going to actually have a brief pause for our sponsors so that people like Jacob, Tyler, and myself can afford a petty meal. So we'll be right back. Hey, hey, hey. All right. Welcome back to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. We are done examining TCU's offense, and we're going to take a look now at the more reliable and efficient Horned Frog defense. TCU has one of, if not the best defenses in the Big 12. A lot of that coming from players playing their position well, but also adhering to the 4-2-5 identity that crushes rush attempts up front and doesn't allow for anything deep. And I honestly think that this might be a package we would be more suited in. I wish we were in it more often than not because, and I've said it before, our three-man rush gets us beat, I mean, 9 times out of 10. So, oh, I don't know. Maybe this game will give Patterson some ideas if they play it really well. Key players to be keeping an eye on, and all these are really according to Jamie Plunkett, not necessarily the stats in general, but safety Ardarius Washington. This is a freshman who usurped senior Vernon Scott for the starting role, and he has not looked back a moment. this guy's got 3 interceptions on the season, so definitely certainly going to have to keep an eye out for wherever he is on the field. But not only Washington, safety Trevon Morig, who has 4 interceptions on the year, one going back nearly 60 yards to the house, leads the team in interceptions. This is a big hitter. The combination of Morig and Washington over the top make for a very deadly combo in the passing game. Duffy, not really taking a lot of extreme chances downfield, but if we're going to continue to rely on a longer passing game like we saw in West Virginia, that's going to necessitate a lot more caution from Duffy, and I hope that he has the capability and the kind of football IQ in the situation to avoid interceptions. I'm almost saying that Duffy's going to have an interception this game, it feels like, but I just want to make sure we limit that because this might come down to, you know, which team gets more turnovers. So, but all props to Duffy. He's been an excellent he's taken excellent control of the ball, handled the ball very well throughout this time. So who knows? Next up, we got linebacker Garrett Wallow. This is kind of their version of Jordan Brooks. This is a leading tackler with 94 total tackles on the season. Actually has an interception. This is a big chaos guy. Jamie tells me that he loves to get in behind the line of scrimmage and get pressure on quarterbacks. So certainly of that Jordan Brooks archetype, and somebody that the offensive line is going to have to key up on quick and not allow him to get in the backfield because he will probably not let Duffy get away. Then we have defensive back Jeff Gladney. This might be a familiar name to Texas Tech fans. This has been a big guy for TCU this season. Back in 2017, Red Raiders, you might remember this guy because when we were playing with Nick Szymanek at the helm, he got that, it's like an 80-yard pick six on us at home to really solidify that game. So that was an absolute embarrassment. But Jeff Gladney's still on the team, still really killing it in the pass defense. Duffy is just sounds like he's going to have to be actually on, you know, on fire this game, which we've seen him be at home, so it's a possibility. Okay, this is actually, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to look at and think, if we just do this, we'll be okay. because from a rushing standpoint, so Roderick Thompson is questionable Saturday with that ankle injury. I'm sure he'll play, but for right now, the way he left the West Virginia game, just not sure. Tajon Henry was beat up a little last game, so still not 100% on his status, but he may be good to go on Saturday. And we don't have Armon Shine as a reminder for the rest of the season due to the broken ribs. So the rushing game, like while we have good running backs, I don't think they'll be at 100%. We'll see. But right now, it doesn't look like that. And then from the passing standpoint, Duffy is good, like I've said, in the ways that we need him to be. But is he good enough to pick apart this pass defense that has been so proficient? I mean, they're second only to Kansas State in the conference in yards allowed through the air and by a very small margin. And they're both like top 25 pass defenses. We've seen how much they can stifle good offensive schemes throughout the year. Tyler, how are you looking at this TCU defense with the weapons that we have available? How are you going to game plan if you're Yost?
Man, it's really difficult because with the 4-2-5, it splits the field in half and then half again. Like, you're never outnumbered. Usually with a 4-2-5, though, you are a bit undersized. But with Gary Patterson and being in the Big 12, he's gotten better and bigger and better athletes. So to kind of close that gap. My whole thing has been just been watching to see if Sir Roderick Thompson's a good to go, because I feel a whole lot better about our situation if we have a combination of Tajon Henry and Sir Roderick Thompson plus Jet Duffy back there. The one thing that stood out to me, the West Virginia game, is not so much as the opening up the passing game. That's that you could see that from a mile away, but the Hog Mollies up front, man, they got in to the West Virginia defensive line, which was probably their strength. If you're looking at West Virginia, I know the bottom of the Big 12, but that was their strength, is their defensive line. And they got into them from the first play on, and they dominated that entire first half. And they made sure that the defensive line of West Virginia knew that they weren't going to get stopped. And so my thing that I'll be looking for is see if that continues, especially with Jack Anderson out, with all the injuries we've had up front. You kind of want to see that consistency of that play. Like, that goes a long way. When you get in somebody's face in the first play, or the first two plays, or the first few series of the game, and you let them know that, you know, I'm not backing down, that plays a role into who ultimately wins, I think.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, we're pretty depleted on all three levels. I mean, our third-string quarterback, who's, you know, he's played great, no doubt, but still we're there. All our running backs are banged up. There's a chance we might see Jax Welch get the bulk of the carries this game. And Chooks Nwankwo. Okay? That's like, those are our two walk-ons. It's not good. Then, you know, the thing we're not even talking about right now, I mean, is TJ Vasher going to play? We don't know. He might still be suspended. But, I mean, that's just one weapon we won't have. But not like he's been overly excited anyways. But it's still another weapon you like to have out there. But I don't know. They have a really good secondary. But then again, Jet Duffy's at home. And if there's one thing we know, sometimes when Jet Duffy's at home, he plays really well. So we'll play. Yes.
And like the two tight ends that emerged, like they have come along as the season comes along, dude. They've really made a name for themselves. Dante Thompson and even Travis Kuntz a little bit, but more so Dante Thompson. I really hope that they can be utilized against this 4-2-5 defense, because as much as we can't defend a tight end very well, pass interference or not, I think the 4-2-5 has a susceptibility to give the tight end seam a little bit of wiggle room, and that's an area that Dante Thompson could very much excel in.
Well, and you bring up a good thing. The 4-2-5, I think, is an excellent defensive scheme, but the glaring issue with that is that you've got two people in the middle of the field, in the mid-range of the field, and for tight ends, that's money all day. Just dump it off, and you can pick up 5-6 yards of play. You're marching down the field, and there's nothing to do besides pull up defensive backs, and at that point, you just got to dunk it. But Travis Kuntz out for the first half of this game for a stupid reason. I don't even want to get into it because it makes me upset, because officiating is garbage in this league. It pisses me off so bad. It pisses me off so much. But, and like you say, Dante Thompson, he's great. We just got to hope that, you know, Yost recognizes that. This is always like a game of how much more do we know than Yost knows. And you're like, oh, no, because he's offensive coordinator. He knows it all, and he's studying tape. And while that's true, he hasn't watched Big 12 football as much as we have. Like saying – you go ahead, Jacob.
So I was saying, what a joke.
Yeah. So while he may get like – we're all infallible. We're all people. So Yost might overlook that aspect of the 4-2-5. But as long as we're – I think as long as – you know, tight end or not, I think as long as we're focusing on the middle of the field, crosses, ends, any number of routes that you can draw up that we really haven't expressed throughout this whole season, let's be honest, these are TCU's bane. And I don't think we're going to get a lot of big bang plays on them throughout the game. It's something they're really good at defending against. But we can cut them really well a number of times in the mid-range. and then allow Duffy to build up that momentum, which allows him to take more confident shots down the field. It's been kind of a recipe for success in the games that we've won. So I don't know what, if we're going to pick somebody, we're not picking Duffy, obviously. That's too easy. Tyler, if you got to pick somebody this game that needs to step up outside of Jet Duffy, who would you pick, Jacob?
I would pick whoever's getting the bulk of carries at running back, whether it be Sir Roderick or Tayshaun or Jax Welch or Chukwuma Mbako. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. We got to have a steady running game, because if we don't, they're not going to respect it. They're not going to defend it. And then we're going to start trying to screen them to death. And you know what happens when you try to screen people to death? It doesn't work.
We die. We just die. Tyler, who are you looking for?
Man, since I can't take Jet Duffy and I can't take the offensive line, apparently, can I cop out and say Dante Thompson? Because I really feel like there's something weird, and I don't know if it's Jacob getting in my ear for like all season, like Dante Thompson's going to be really good. Dante Thompson's going to be really good. But like, I have this feeling that this is going to be a good game for Dante Thompson. Like, I just have this overall feeling that David Yost is actually going, I think he's got the trust. Jet Duffy has his trust, and there's a good communication going back and forth. And I really think Dante Thompson's going to have a really good game.
I don't think that's a cop out. I love that. I love the tight end. I love tight end love, because they're such an essential piece to a lot of successful teams. They offer so much versatility, and they're the guys that not only are more than happy to take some stardom, getting a reception, getting touchdowns and stuff, but they're equally happy to be a part of the run blocking scheme. And that's a position that and then the fullback.
And Dante,
Dante
has done a really good job of run blocking. If you go back and look, he's done a really good job. And this is something, I don't think he was brought in to play tight end, right?
He was going to be a receiver.
And he has just taken this role on, and he has really come along as the season progresses. I'm ready. I really want this for him.
Yeah, same as all. So if your plan works out, Tyler, then Jacob's plan is probably going to work out. If we get good run blocking, that's all you really need with an average running back, banged up or not. I guess if I want to pick somebody, any wide receiver to step up, to be honest. We have a lot of good wide receivers. I need somebody to be sure hands on Saturday, because if Duffy's getting the ball out and getting it at least in the vicinity and nobody's going like selling out to catch it, as I imagine some might against this TCU defense, then we're just not going to get down the field. That's going to be problematic. So if we can get a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back going, I think we'll be all right. That's the bet. If we play really well on offense and then really well on defense, that'll be good, basically. Too simple. We'll see how it goes. Let's head into the Big 12 pick'em. And biggest winner from last pod, I don't know because I don't remember and I didn't have time to listen.
It was me because I didn't pick. What's up?
We can pick Tyler for bye week win.
Yeah.
Not embarrassing himself. And then obviously the biggest losers is Jacob and I for picking West Virginia over Tech very confidently.
Yeah.
I think we were.
Yes, we were very confident.
But thankfully we were wrong in all the best ways. And I won't be making that mistake again until they embarrass us. Maybe against TCU, maybe against Kansas State, maybe against Texas, but we'll see. So let's roll through some games this Saturday. We'll start off with an easy one. We got Kansas at Oklahoma State. The line is Oklahoma State with 17.5. Looks like. Jacob, who do you have?
Oh, I got them Cowboys. That's it.
Plain simple.
Yep.
Tyler.
I'll tell you, Kansas gets their one good game a year, and they beat us. So that's their one good game this year.
Man, that's fair. I respect that. I'm all about respecting Kansas, especially now. Tyler.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Pokes, and I don't know if they'll cover, but man, Spencer Saunders has really come along since that Tech game, hasn't he?
Yeah, the better they do, the better we look for that one game, and that's fine with me. I will take Oklahoma State as well. I think it'll be a two-score game, not a two and a field goal. Not two and a field goal and 0.5 or however you get that. So, yeah, I think we're all picking Cowboys across the board. Next up, an interesting one. Two teams. Well, that's not a storyline I'm going to try to create. You got Texas at Iowa State. The current line is Iowa State by a touchdown. Tyler, who do you have?
Give me Iowa State at home. Yeah. I'm going to go Iowa State.
2:30 p.m., but will be noted that it's going to be probably cold as hell up in Iowa. there was snow all over the ground. So we'll see. Jacob, how are you feeling about this Cyclone Longhorn matchup?
Well, I think last week I mentioned the Minister of Culture. I think he really willed them to a win last week, the old Minister of Culture, Mr. McConaughey. All right, I don't think it's going to work this week. It's going to be too cold. Once it gets under 20 degrees, the Minister of Culture, he can't really do much. So I'm going to go with Cyclones.
Does he travel with them to away games?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, man, he certainly has the money to, but...
Yeah, I just don't know if he has the time or if he...
Or if he wants to sit in the cold.
That he doesn't have the time, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to Iowa State, too. Number one leading factor for me is that it's going to be cold as hell, and Iowa has all the advantage when it's cold as hell because that's what they're used to. And it's in Ames. It's a tough environment. 2:30, I don't care who they're playing. It's going to be packed. They're really great fans up there. They're really loyal to their team. So I think we're Iowa State across the board, Oklahoma State across the board. Next up might be another easy one. Got West Virginia at Kansas State. Kansas State favored by 14.5, only 14.5. Jacob, Mountaineers or Wildcats?
I think I'm gonna go with the Wildcats. Here's why. They've had this, oh, we're gonna play like junk, oh, we're gonna play great, oh, we're gonna play like junk. You know what this week is? This is, oh, we're gonna play great week. So I think they're gonna play good this week, and I think Kansas State is gonna defeat the Mountaineers.
I mean, by that logic, it just makes sense. Tyler.
Yeah, that line really surprised me when I saw it. But I think the Wildcats roll on this one. And hopefully they play like Jacob said, and that they do really good this week and then really bad next week when they play Tech.
Yeah, it seems like Kansas State has a just a will or refuses to have two losses in a row. So by Jacob logic, yeah, give me the Wildcats. Give me them by 3 scores at least. They're a really good quarterback. The defense is phenomenal. And West Virginia, just not getting it done. They've got a lot of they don't, though. West Virginia not getting it done. Kansas State rolls. Kansas State, full-on Kansas State, full-on Iowa State, full-on Oklahoma State. So let's get to a tough one. The probably toughest one of the week, to be quite honest, because not only do you have a premier program, you also have a program that somehow avoids death at every single turn. We got Oklahoma, the 8-1 Sooners, number 10 ranked 8-1 Sooners at Baylor, 9-0, 13th ranked Baylor in Waco. The line, Vegas people are not fooled. Line is at Oklahoma by 10. Tyler, who do you got in this one?
I have been made a fool. I've been bamboozled and just downright disgraced every time I pick Baylor because they find some way to win. Every time I pick against Baylor, sorry. So I'm gonna go with the Bears. I think it's kind of like a Minnesota thing where it's easy to get up for a game, one game a year, at home, and after winning so many close games, and they know this is their one shot. This really is their one shot to really propel themselves. And regardless, I don't think it's going to be enough to get them into the college football playoff discussion, even if they do win. Because their non-conference was crap and they did that on purpose. So, I'm going to go with the Bears.
I was listening to the Double T Radio here in Lubbock, and they have a great point that this actually is a really difficult playoff. I mean, if you have people like Minnesota win out, even if Alabama ends up winning out, there's a lot of complicated scenarios here, and there's a really, like, to Baylor get in. I know on ESPN on game day we've seen like Baylor right now has the best chance to get in the college football playoff. But they don't. They have the best chance out of the Big 12, and that is a really small percentage because there are teams that are just outperforming all of our teams in a hilarious ways. And I think if a Big 12 team does get in, it's going to be like it has been, and we're going to get embarrassed because, I mean, Lee Corso said it best. Nobody respects the Big 12, and we're not giving them a reason to. So we love to tear each other up, and it just doesn't seem to work out. Jacob, who do you have this weekend, Oklahoma or Baylor?
Well, Tyler picked the Bears, and I think it's really going to hurt when they get whooped by Oklahoma this week.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's all. Hashtag.
Over under on how many squats Jalen Hurts does after the game then.
I think I'm going to go over under with 15. I'm going to take the over.
All right. Great. So not that tired by the end
of
it.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I'm glad that
hashtag Bears gonna get exposed.
Yeah, it's gonna happen one way or another. Man, like everything in me wants to pick Oklahoma because I'm just consistently not convinced by Baylor. But at the same time, Oklahoma doesn't have a defense really. They have an offense, but Baylor kind of has a defense. They proved in the TCU game. Also, Max Duggan may have not helped them, but. Baylor has stepped up to the plate to finish games out in the ways that teams haven't, you know, luck or whatever you want to call it, voodoo, I don't care. The fact is that we're sitting here, 2019, Baylor has gone from where it was to now they're 9-0, and we have to face that reality. So on one hand, I want to be like Tyler. I want to pick the Bears because in my mind, if I pick the Bears, they're going to lose. But I also want to be smart, like Jacob, and say Oklahoma's going to expose them because that seems like an obvious answer. So I'm just going to kind of flip a coin, do it right now. Just... All right, Baylor Bears, here
live
we go.
Live radio.
Okay, I'm going to go with Baylor to continue their ridiculous streak of winning despite all realities and give me the extra sauce of winning out and not making it into the college football playoff and then being super upset about it and then having to deal with the reality that they schedule crap teams in non-conference. Okay, finally, we have the actual game of the week. We've got TCU, 4-5 TCU at 4-5 Texas Tech. Records all the same, identities all different. The line right now at home, TCU has the edge by field goal. Ugh. Tyler, how you feel about this one? And key matchup for Texas Tech to win it.
All right. Key matchup for us to win it is going to be our offensive.
Go ahead. I was going to. I messed up, but go ahead. We're rolling with it.
Let's roll. It's going to be our offense's ability to attack the middle. So I'm going to go with the inside receivers and tight ends on Texas Tech versus the linebacker core of TCU. I think everybody knows my feelings towards this game. It's very well documented. I hate Gary Patterson with the force of 1,000 suns. A good drinking game during the game is going to be take a drink every time he ties his shoes and or wipes his sweaty brow in 30 degree weather. I don't know how he sweat in 30 degree weather, but he's going to find a way. Or if he yells at Sonny Cumbie, every time he yells at Sonny Cumbie, you take two shots. I've gone back and forth with this game. I really thought that we were probably going to lose. But with Matt Wells and everybody coming out, knowing that their back's against the wall and how he's made it a point and the team has made it a point to say, we know our back's against the wall. We know we got to win this game. We know we got to get the saddle, which is a thing, apparently. I'm going Tech. I'm going Tech by six. Let's go. Let's go.
I think I subconsciously knew that you were going to pick Texas Tech, and that made me ruin my question.
I'm going to be there. I'm not going to throw anything at Gary Patterson, but except for words.
Water and they're going to be very.
They may not be nice words. They may not be PG words. I don't know, because I don't know my mindset at that point, because I'm going to try to get. I'm going to have a lot of adult beverages because I'm not going to have a kid around, so I can do that. And because I'm an adult. Yeah.
It's 11 a.m., so it's the prime time opportunity.
And I have gray hair, and I don't care. I don't care anymore. Yes. So let's go. Let's go. I don't even go here. Let's go.
There you go. Peak life for Tyler. Yeah, I think I subconsciously knew that you were going to pick TCU, so I just kind of thwarted my question. Jacob, to you now, and I'll present my question correctly. Who do you pick to win, and what's the key matchup for that team to get that win? There you go.
Well, I think the real key matchup that we're all kind of overshadowing is Gary Patterson versus Gary Patterson. Which Gary Patterson's going to come out? The decent coach Gary Patterson, or the I'm going to yell at Sonny Cumbie Gary Patterson? Sometimes they both come out. We may never know. Anyways.
We'll know Saturday.
Yeah. The biggest matchup we got to focus on here. All right. I think personally is the Texas Tech front seven versus the TCU offensive line. Okay. If the front seven gets some pressure on Max Duggan, it's going to be harder for him to throw the ball deep to Jalen Reagor. We know he's going to be open like at least twice. Okay. Down the field. Unfortunately, that's hard.
Twice, that's underselling it.
That's probably underselling it. You're right. More like 10 or 11. But you know, we know how kind of subpar our defensive backs have been. But I think if Roger Washington, Eli Howard and company, if they can generate some pressure with maybe the help of some blitzes, not prevent defense, blitzes. All right. I think that's a big deal. And I think that Tech's going to end up winning. Matt Wells, like we've said, he knows what this game's about. He knows everyone gets emotional. He knows he's going to be looking at the student section and be like, no water bottles, no batteries. Just throw some good old-fashioned tortillas at the man, all right? Tortillas don't hurt. Well, apparently they do. I mean, I was there, all right? It wasn't a water bottle. It wasn't a battery. It was a soaked tortilla. Okay? Let's just put that to rest. All right? I'm feeling it. All right? I think I may have picked TCU in the pick'em. Let's see. Did I pick TCU in the pick'em or did I pick us? Let's see. Nope. I picked us in the pick'em. I'm sticking with it. All right. Texas Tech going to come out on top. Gary Patterson. Over or under, yelling at Sonny Cumbie twice. I'm going with the over.
Dude, I wish you could see the dance I was just doing the whole time. Jacob's going. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
You can tell that Tyler has kids because his let's goes are as muffled as they get. Yeah, I'm all along the line of thinking with Jacob. I think that the key matchup this game is going to be that ferocious seven on our defense against TCU's wounded but efficient offensive line. If we can dominate the line of scrimmage, then Duggan's gonna have a really hard time in Lubbock, and that just spells that's good news for us, because our rush defense is good, but we do lack in the pass defense, and so the more we can mitigate that, the better. So give me Texas Tech to win. I'm not gonna say win big, but I'm gonna say that Texas Tech comes out with a win at home a key win, because moving into the last two games of the season, Kansas State and Texas, those are going to take some real, real grit to get out that last win. I mean, literally, if we win this, we're 5 wins, and we have got to win one more for bowl eligibility, then it's going to become an absolute tussle, and I just do not want it to come down to the last game of the season. So we can't win this. We can't lose this weekend. So Texas Tech, across the board from your fellow Red Raiders, and we are really on time, or we are really like, we. This has been long, so if you've made it this far, thanks everybody. That's going to do it for us today. If you've enjoyed this preview, then be absolutely sure to like, subscribe, give us that feedback. Opinions matter here. We are a blog by fans for fans. You can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Tyler, Jacob, and myself, this has been the Preview Pod for TCU. Stay wrecked and get those tortillas soggy.